This is Dale Cantrell, pastor of the Meridianville Holiness Church. Thanks for joining us for this look into God's Word as we try to gain a better understanding of God's will for us. Many of us at the Meridianville Holiness Church feel like God would be pleased with us sharing our faith with our community and surrounding area. I hope that those in the hospital, nursing home, rehab, or wherever they can't get to where the Word of God has been delivered in person today could benefit from this message. This is not intended to replace getting the Word of God in person, but just for those people that can't get to where it's at, I'll try to bring it to you today. Meridianville Holiness Church has services on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. and Sunday morning at 11 a.m. and Sunday evening at 5 p.m. I want to start off reading Romans 13:11 in the King James Version of the Bible. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. And then over in Ezekiel 33:32 in the King James Version, it says, And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not. When my children were smaller, I don't know why. Most of the time it's the mother that rocks children to sleep and that sort of thing. But I just always took it upon myself. I enjoyed it. And so I would get them and get them in a rocking chair. I wasn't that good of a singer, but I could get that rhythm and with a beat of that song, and somehow or another it put them to sleep in no time. There was one particular song I used to sing to them, and it went like this. I'm not going to sing, but I'll repeat the words to you. It said, Three little children laying in bed, two of them sick and the other one dead. Call the doctor, and the doctor said, Feed them children on shortening bread. Goes on to say, Mama's little baby loves shortening, shortening. Mama's little baby loves shortening bread. And whenever I would say that part about two little children laying in bed, one of them sick, two of them sick, and the other one dead, that my children didn't rise from their sleep and awake and say, You have scared me. I can't go back to sleep, Daddy. No, they weren't listening to the words. They were just listening to the rhythm and to the that put them to sleep. And that's the way some people are in church. They're not really hearing the word. It's just they just like to listen to it, and it seems to put them to sleep sometimes. I'd like to read Ephesians 1:3-6. In the King James Version, it said, Blessed be the God of our Father, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, or the beloved. When you are chosen, you are pulled apart, separated, forever separated from others. Because of the uniqueness of your path and destiny, you cannot be common in your associations. The struggle is to think on the level of your calling. If you're not willing to leave the 12, then you're not eligible to be with the one. The blessed be God. If God is blessed and we have his DNA, then he will pass it down to us. If you understand that God is blessed, then you understand he can pass it on down to his children. You don't have to imitate it, emulate it, or anything else, because you will have it. You will be it. I am blessed. How do you know? Because of who my Father is. How can I be anything else but blessed? I don't have to be just a little bit blessed. I can be blessed all the way. The world seemingly, if you'll excuse me for saying it this way, has gone crazy. I've never seen anything like it. We're in times now that will separate the true in the heart from the imitators, the real from the wannabe. We're in times that you need to wake up the sleeping giant. There's a bigger person within you. You just have to wake him up. It's high time to wake out of your sleep. It is not night anymore, it is day. Work while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. A church service should be different than a funeral service. For everything there is a season. It's like the prodigal son who came to himself You need a wake-up call. The prodigal son had a call to action, and sometimes you have to initiate the action. There are no more snooze buttons to hit. You have pressed the snooze button too many times, and it's time to get up and get busy. God is tired of you hitting the snooze button and tired of you making excuses. This is an emergency. It is the last call. You don't need a nice loud alarm clock just ding, ding, dinging in your ear. You need the bell to be ringing loud and clear and right in your ear. You don't have to let the wrong side of you be in charge. You've let the wrong side be in charge way too long. Wake up that other man that wants the right thing. Wake up the sleeping giant. The bigger you, the better you. If you can't get up for something because you don't want it bad enough, you'll never get things God's intended got for you. If you'll get up on Monday morning in the middle of the night and drive a long ways for $10 an hour, but you can't get up and get ready for church, there's something wrong with that. You're too tired, too sleepy, and too troubled to go to church. People will get up in the middle of the night while on crutches in the freezing rain just to see a deer, not much less kill a deer. But you can't go to church. Friend, there's something wrong with this. I'm not trying to get on to you for your hobbies or whatever you like to do. That's fine. Whatever, if it's hunting, fishing, or playing ball, or whatever your hobby is, just as long as your desire to go to church and live for God is equal to that. Every morning, every day that God wakes you up, it's a sign that he's not through with you yet. What made you think that he's through with you? What made you think you were too old? The very fact that he got you up this morning means that he's got something else for you to do. So get out of the bed. Rub your arthritic knees and get going. You have a destiny. Just because you're 60 or 70 or even 80 does not mean that God is through with you yet. You should be where God wakes you up and won't let you alone like your parents did when you were a kid going to school. Be like Samson. Don't go to sleep. Don't let anything put you off to sleep. Wake yourself up. Shake yourself. Get yourself going. We have got too much to do. I came to wake you up today and preach you over the edge. I came to break you loose from the place you were stuck in. The preacher on the wall blows the trumpet and sounds the alarm. He should blow so loud that he wakes everybody up. Should be like Paul Revere and say, "The enemy is coming. The enemy is coming." When you are asleep, it feels so good. Sometimes you don't want anybody to wake you up. You're away from the stress and responsibility. And if they wake you up, they're going to take you back to your problems. Jonah was in the bottom of the ship asleep, and I believe they called him a dreamer. Asleep at the wheel. We're the most sleepy the closer you get to our destination. Most wrecks, most fatalities and casualties happen just a short distance from home. A person that is asleep doesn't know what is going on around him. In that respect, he's like the drunk man who don't have a clue what is happening. Don't forget Jonah asleep at the wheel. The prodigal son realized where he was and remembered where he used to be. Looks like I've got a little bit more time today, and I think I'll get you to turn over to Galatians 6:7 in the King James Version. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Friends, this is not a suggestion. It's not something that works some of the time. This is a law that works every time. It's like gravity. When you jump up, you won't come down some of the times. You'll come down every time because it's a law. Everything that God created, if you'll pay attention, he created in a system of cycles. He designed everything where if man obeyed that one law to feed what's feeding you, then God would never have to create again. God came down and created an apple tree. So he didn't have to come down and create an apple tree every time one was needed. He got the seed and put the seed in there so that it could reproduce itself. God allowed the grass to grow up out of the ground with a promise that the grass would feed the ground that fed it. As long as the grass feeds the ground that fed it, the cycle continues and will always reproduce again. If the ground starts giving more to the grass than the grass gives to the ground, then they break the cycle and everything stops. The rain comes down from the heavens. God fixed that the same way too. He designed it to cycle too. The clouds can afford to release the rain because humidity goes up, the moisture goes back up, and the cycle continues. What is it doing? It's feeding what feeds it. You remember when Jesus passed by the fig tree and cursed the fig tree? I used to read that and it was hard for me to understand. I thought, what's this all about? Did Jesus really kill the fig tree because he's hungry? I think if you look at it closer, Jesus didn't curse the fig tree because he was hungry. He did it because it broke the law. It broke the cycle. It wasn't feeding what fed it. Luke 13:6-7, he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then he said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth the ground? They were surprised when they came back later on and that tree had already died so quickly. He cursed the fig tree because the fig tree was receiving and not giving. Every time you break the law and the cycle, there comes a curse. I guarantee you, if you're married to someone and you keep giving to them and they don't ever give anything back, when one of the two people don't give anything back and all one's given all, you have a marriage that is cursed. Anytime you don't feed what's feeding you, you kill the source. It is a law. 1 Timothy 5:18 says, for the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his hire. You can't keep working the ox on and muzzle his mouth. Anytime something is feeding you, you must feed it. If you don't feed anything else, common sense would tell you that you have to feed what's feeding you. You bless what's blessing you. You help what's helping you. You pour into what's pouring into you. You don't need a degree or be able to speak Hebrew to understand that this is just a basic law. Everything operates that way. The fields, the crops operate by giving back to what gave to them. Everything is a cycle, a system of reciprocity. Everything in your life, if you violate that law, it winds up to be a curse to you. We also need to give back to our parents and others who gave to us. We owe. Whatever you learn, I believe that you need to give back to somebody else. I think we have a responsibility when God imparts wisdom to us that we share it with people. It just says something about your character when you give back to something they gave to you. Galatians 6:6-7 says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Be not deceived. You're not too big or important that you can break this law because God is not mocked. If you go in a restaurant and sit down and order a big meal and you choose not to pay, you start out, the restaurant is not going to be mocked. They're going to take some kind of action to make sure they get their money. You don't have a free ticket on things. It's like depositing and withdrawals. You can't expect to keep withdrawing and withdrawing without first making a deposit. We have to make deposits. And that's what this is teaching us. You teach your children how to treat you by how you treated your parents. Whatever you throw at your parents, your kids are going to throw at you. You cannot sow disrespect and reap honor. You cannot sow greed and reap prosperity. Do you want friends? It works the same way. Then you have to show yourself friendly. You have to sow first before you can reap. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer to a brother. Sometimes people don't like us because we're just not nice. Because, you know, people will make room for nice people. I don't care how cute you are. Ugly will always outweigh cute every time. If I give to you, why would you not give to me? Anytime you take something in living, it has to be fed. So remember, when you bring stray animals home, they have to be fed. So don't take on more than you're willing to feed, whether it's a wife or children, a church, a schoolhouse, or whatever. You have to feed what's feeding you. If you understand this concept, how can you understand this about life and sacrifice and not understand this about your church? Paul told those people, if I am the one making your life better and pouring into you, why would you call it robbery to feed what's feeding you? Like I said, if you go to a restaurant and they don't ask you to pick up the check at the other table, sit next to you, the restaurant doesn't require you to pay for anything that you didn't eat yourself. But they do expect you, if you ate, to pick up the check for yourself. Are you trying to draw from something that you have little investment in? If you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. Let's talk about levels, because you cannot draw 60 and produce 30. Some people are better takers than givers. Takers may eat better, but givers are going to sleep better. You're going to withdraw on the level that you have given. If you don't reap, eventually you will die little by little. There's people that's always wanting somebody to pray for them, but not wanting to put anything in the prayer for anyone else. Galatians 6:5 says, for every man shall bear his own burden. In God's perfect order, it was not God's will for the man of God to do anything except give himself over to prayer and study the word so that he could feed the church. So when you come to them to be fed with the word, you want a full meal, not a partial, from being distracted. You don't want to be distracted from their duties. The reason it said God is not mocked is because he put a system in place that is so delicate, man's tampering with one of God's systems will break it down or weaken it. As long as you don't mock God, the systems he has put in place will go in uninterrupted. As long as I throw you the ball and you throw it back to me, everything goes fine. But when you keep it and won't throw it back, you break the cycle. The one that's keeping the ball has no right to say, why aren't you throwing it back? What areas in your life are you underfunding and overexpecting? Are you trying to get something out of the piano that you're not putting into it? Are you trying to get something out of the ministry that you're not willing to put back into it? Do you not realize that you can't just come to church once a month and get what you need? You're overexpecting and underfunding. Let him that receives anything give back, lest it be depleted. Luke 6:38-39 says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give it into your bosom. For out of the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into ditch? Whatever you give yourself to will give itself back to you. Don't get angry at things that don't give to you when you haven't given anything to it. It seems like now that people want to learn from the Bible, but they don't want to put any time in it. It seems like that every generation we become a little more and a little more biblically illiterate. It's time that we got down and studied, begged, and pleaded for God to help us. I've enjoyed being with you today. I've enjoyed passing this on to you. And it's always, every Sunday, my prayer is that we can all could make it. May God wonderfully bless you until we meet here next time at this same time. My prayer to God is that as many as can will make it. Please phone, text, or email any comments to Dale Cantrell at 256 508-4410 or email me, DaleCantrell2@gmail.com. That's DaleCantrell, the number 2@gmail.com, all lowercase. Meridianville Holiness Church is located at 1285 Steger Road in Meridianville, Alabama, 35759. But any notes or letters should be sent to 278 Priest Lane, Hazel Green, Alabama, 35750. If you do not live near the Meridianville area, Alabama area, but would like to be interested in attending a service near you, then contact me, Dale Cantrell, and I'll get you to the nearest church location closest to where you're at. If you would like to come visit us, and if you want to stay just through the singing, and then you don't choose to stay any longer, we won't feel bad at you at all, friend. We'll try to make you just feel just as welcome as we know how. May God bless you is my prayer.